Gary mentioned stories. I am one of those stories. I was reached. I was saved in this church. I met Jesus in this church. My life was changed forever. And it is my fervent hope, my deep dream one day that Jared Gibson will give me an intro like that, because that was awesome. And but hey, I'm here to share the word tonight. You ready for the word? So great. Hey, just before we get to the word, I just want to welcome Christina Markopoulos all the way from Adelaide. So great to have you. Let's welcome her. And up here for the week, visiting Shire Live, always great to have guests from interstate with us. And we're honored you join us for Sunday night church. It's going to be good tonight. I'm excited to share this word. I've got it burning in my heart. I've been pumped for it all week. And this afternoon, I was praying for this moment when God would just rock up in the word and just stir our faith. And I'm pumped. So what we're going to do is we're going to start at Hebrews chapter 10. Going to read a verse, and then we're going to read another verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Sound good? There's probably a verse that will come up on the screen, and you'll be able to follow along. Otherwise, you can just listen with your ears, and I will read it to you with my soothing voice. Right? This is what it says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 39. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere, so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. For in just a little while, He who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. What a verse about faith. Now jump with me down to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to read verse 7. And it says this. For we live by faith and not by sight. And the title of my message tonight is More Than Meets the Eye. I'd love you to join me as we pray. Ask God to bless this moment. Open up our hearts. Help us to see. Help us to have revelation. And let the word of God do what it wants to do in our hearts tonight. So God, we just welcome you. And we're ready. We're here. We're expectant. We have faith, God. And we just believe that when the word goes out, it does not return void. That your word, God, stirs our faith. And I pray that tonight, God, we would leave here with our eyes fixed upon you. And the more we look at you, the more we become like you, God. And our lives would reflect who you are. So God, we ask tonight, God, not just to be a great moment or a great sermon or just a great celebration, but God, to be something of a seed in our hearts that would echo into our year, God, and into our life ahead throughout all of our life into eternity. God, we commit that to you now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now, my brother was the one who had glasses growing up, and I had 20/20 vision, and you know, I was like thinking I'm the man. You know, when your older brother needs glasses, and it's particularly noticeable in the surf at dusk when the sun's sort of going down and everything just melds into this who knows what, you can't see anything. You could trick my brother, you could pretend to be anyone, and he'd believe you. And you'd just be surfing with him, then you'd paddle away about 50 meters, then you'd come back and you'd be like, "Yo, Tom, how's it going?" He'd be like, "Hey, who's that?" You could be anyone, and he would have a conversation with you for about half an hour. It was fantastic. I loved it. And, you know, as time went on, I would challenge him to different things. Can you see this? Can you see that? You know, sort of proud of myself, right? Until the day that I started to realize that those things in the distance were getting a little bit blurry. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you've ever experienced this. It's a real humbling moment. And the first time I saw that you know, lit up neon light in the distance that I couldn't read, I'm like, I've spent too much time in the surf, too much time in the water. That's what it is. The next day, same thing. Day after that, my eyes are still gone. I'm like, wait a second, something's going on here. Now, what you first do when you realize you can't see is you sort of enter this stage of denial and you just pretend you can see. But things start to slip and people start to notice that you can't read things in the distance, particularly your wife, right? And I sort of denied it probably until this one camp that I was speaking at as a guest speaker. And I just had this word for this guy sort of halfway in the crowd there. And I'm like, yes, yeah, bro. Yeah, I got a word for you, man. Yeah, bro. Everyone's looking around, looking past themselves. And I'm like, no, you there with a hoodie. Yeah, bro, what's your name? It's like, Sarah. I'm like, oh, sorry. I'm like, yeah, time to invest in some glasses. And which I did. But I'm sure God moved still in her life, probably, I hope, please. But what I've learned is this, right? Sight is great, but it is limited. And the best human sight is considered 20/20 vision. You would have heard that phrase, 20/20. It means from 20 feet, you can see things clearly, right? And the truth is that from that close, you know, you can see most things. Like this ant, for example. There you go, ants, right? You can see ants, 20/20 vision. Now, a hawk has got 200/20 vision, which means a hawk can see about 10 times better than you and I, or the best, sorry, than you, not that much better than I. A hawk can see far better than any person, right? Which means from about 20 feet, a hawk can see something as if it was 2 feet away. And that sort of is a bit like this, a little bit of a close-up of that same sort of style of ant. And to see even closer than that, this is when we start to use apparatuses, tools, magnifying glasses. Humans need to use a microscope. And beyond, so you can see this one, this is sort of with a microscope. That's an actual ant holding an actual microchip. How about that? I don't know how they did it, but I'm impressed, right? Now, this is sort of the extent of our ability to see anything with our eyes. Because what we're seeing here is a reflection of light. Beyond this, things get complicated. Things are literally too small to see. And I did some research, and for the sake of this illustration, wanted to get some smarter input than what I had myself. And I've been told that light waves themselves are thicker than the molecules that are inside these tiny things. So they can't even reflect light for us to see. So what we have to do now is we embrace this thing called the electron microscope, right? The electron microscope. Now, the electron microscope can zoom in on that little chip, the microchip that the ant was holding, to this level. Now, what you're seeing here is not something you can see with your bare eyes. This is something that has had electrons shot at it, and what's bounced back has sort of given us a reading of what that looks like at that tiny, tiny level. And the truth is, there's only so much a person can see before needing a magnifying glass, before needing a microscope, before needing an electron microscope, before needing a 9,027 kilometer long hadron collider. It just goes further and further. People trying to see smaller and smaller. You've heard about the mysteries of the universe, the bigness of space, and the speed of light traveling for that long. But it is just as mind-blowing if you look inside something. The smaller you get, the smaller you get, the smaller you get, to the point where we cannot even see with no matter what we use, what is going on at the most intricate levels of daily life. And we can't perceive the mysteries of creation, how small, how large. We can't perceive time. We can't truly perceive love. To live by sight is okay if a person only ever wants to live in the natural. But the truth is that God hasn't called us as believers, those that have in relationship with Him, those that have met Him and come alive by Him. He hasn't called us to live a life that is simply natural. He has actually called us, and we have the opportunity to live a life that is supernatural. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. You see, the context for this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is all about the supernatural. The context for this verse is all about eternity. It is talking about living in the resurrection power of Christ. It's talking about living in what God will give us, the bodies that He will give us to live in. It is beyond what is natural. It is beyond what can be seen. The context for this verse is all about the supernatural. You see, our faith, Christianity, rises and falls on the reality of the supernatural, on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If the resurrection didn't happen, Paul says, we are to be pitied more than anyone. Because if there is no resurrection, then Christ Himself didn't rise from the dead. And if Christ Himself didn't rise from the dead, then there is no hope of eternal life for you and I. Our whole faith hinges on the reality of Jesus Christ going beyond the natural into the supernatural. Jesus Christ not just being a man, not just being a good teacher, not just being a great rabbi, not just being a wise leader, but Himself being God. That is what makes our faith so powerful. That is what makes faith in Jesus so dynamic. That is what makes our faith bigger than what is natural. How can someone believe in the supernatural? They believe if they experience it. How can someone experience it? Through faith. This morning's message was incredible. And Jared referred to it, and I'll refer to it as an unbelievable message that you need to listen to. The three G's from the OG, right? I was like, straight up. I was really hoping you were going to drop a beat this morning, Pastor Brad. Oh, that day. I said to Pastor Brad, I go, Pastor Brad, when we get to that point where we are just like, yep, we're happy and, you know, God's just taking our church to the next level, can you please, like, mark that moment by rapping? And I haven't heard an answer back, but who's with me? Who's keen? That's right. There we go. Fantastic. This morning's message was that we have a legal status. We have a legal status, but sometimes, although we have the legal status, our experiential reality can be different. So why is it that God can say we are an overcomer, yet sometimes while we are an overcomer, we wonder why we're not living in it? And the difference between our legal status and our experiential reality is faith. And we heard an incredible message about where our faith actually comes from. It's not conjured up. It doesn't come from something that we have talked ourselves into. It is actually a response to revelation. Do you know the benefit of your faith is not just natural, it's supernatural. How good are these verses, right? You would have heard them. They are unbelievable. That's what it says. You can have peace which transcends understanding. So what you see, sight, what you perceive, what is going on around you, the reality of a situation, all of a sudden, beyond all of that, peace can be given to you. It is beyond what is natural. It is beyond the natural response to those circumstances. It is not dependent on everything going right. Your peace can exist in the middle of chaos because your peace isn't tethered to the natural. It is tethered to the supernatural. It is something that is given to you by the grace of God. This is the Bible and this is the promise for believers that you would have peace that transcends understanding. That you would have joy in the midst of trials. Consider it pure joy, my dear brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kind. That you could have joy in the middle of the most difficult season of your life. When you're facing things and you don't know how you're going to get beyond it, how you're going to overcome it, how you're going to move through it. But you in the middle of that have a deep joy which is not based upon your circumstances. It's not based on what you see. It is based on something that is supernatural beyond the natural. Poverty, it was said Paul said of the Macedonian church that their poverty welled up into rich generosity. They didn't have anything, yet out of nothing, they rose up and gave generously to bless others. When they themselves were in need, God put something in their heart that was beyond their natural circumstance that they could be generous and could give. These are the experiences of a person of faith. Faith, unlike sight, knows no limitations. Matthew 17 verse 20 says this, Jesus speaking, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Faith moves beyond the natural. Through faith, we have access to a limitless God. The foundation of faith is revelation. So we heard this morning, John saw Jesus, and because of his revelation, not of baby Jesus in a manger, but of the risen King, King of kings and Lord of lords, the one who is at the beginning and at the end, the Alpha, the Omega. This is the Jesus that John saw, and his response was to fall down as if dead. It's almost like he could not physically handle the presence of something so great, the pressure of something that is so magnificent. It was so big. Jesus was so incredible. He was so glorious. He was so magnanimous that John couldn't do anything but just faint in his presence. And then from there, we saw that Revelation chapter 2 and 3 flows, where it talks about having the faith to overcome. It is actually our revelation that gives us our faith. Paul's conversion. I think about Paul, right? He is a guy who was out there, like I said, breathing murderous threats towards the believers. So we think about, you know, the enemies of, you know, believers and people that are against this and against that. I'm telling you, in our country, very few people are after believers like this guy was, right? So this guy was like anti the faith, anti the way, anti-Christian. And he has an encounter with Jesus on this road. And his encounter with Jesus, the revelation he received from that moment in his presence when he saw Jesus for who he truly was, and Jesus says to him, Saul, because he hadn't changed his name yet. He says to him, Saul, why do you persecute me? So Paul, this guy who thought that Jesus was dead and this whole thing was made up and fabricated, is all of a sudden having a conversation with the risen Jesus Christ, with the resurrected Christ. And all of a sudden, the resurrected Christ says to him, Saul, we'll get there eventually. Saul, why do you persecute me? That moment of revelation caused Paul to have faith in him. And Saul went on to become Paul, and Paul went on to write 2/3 of the New Testament and go on missionary's journey and took the early Christian church from where it was to where God wanted it to be. He was unbelievably important in the early church because he had a moment of revelation in Jesus. Their faith in him, John, Paul, people like this, their faith in him allowed the supernatural power of God to flow into their life. Favorite verse, Ephesians 2:8. Pretty much share it every time I speak. I can't get away from it. I love it so much, right? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God. These people that have had an encounter with God, a revelation, they have faith. And by their, like through their faith, the grace of God flows into their life. You know, God's heart is that you would see his reality in your life. That God's presence would be real for you. That is what we're doing here. That's why we're here tonight. Not to fulfill religious obligation. Not to just be a part of a great group, you know, of people that gather together and support one another and encourage one another. There is more to this church than that. There is more to the church than that. We come together because we have encountered a real living God. You can experience God for real in your life. And maybe you're in this room and you are just like, man, this is crazy talk. I don't know what I believe. I'm not sure about all this sort of stuff. I'm telling you, give God a chance. How can you experience the supernatural? How can you believe in the supernatural? By experiencing it. How do you experience it? Through faith. Have some faith and let's see God prove himself real to you. Have you ever just wanted to see God as like undeniably real in your life? Pray for someone and then get healed in front of your eyes, or have that supernatural provision, or, you know, have your own story of a check in the mail, right? So come on, that's awesome. Have you ever wanted to just have that undeniable, that was a God opportunity, that door opened by the grace of God, not by me, and it's changed everything? Have you ever wanted to have that? Because you can through faith. You can have a real experience of a living God. This doesn't have to be a theory for you. It can be legit. As living as you and I are and the person next to you is, as sure as the Lord lives, it can be in your life. If you live only by what you see, you will miss so much. So much. Please, if there's anything you hear from tonight, it is to live by faith and not by sight. If you only live by what you can see, you will miss so much. Do you know, there is so much going on that we can't perceive. There is so much beyond what we can imagine happening right now. Even as we looked into those like microscope pictures, we're seeing stuff that you and I don't perceive on a daily basis. It is infinite the amount of things that are happening without our awareness. But this is the situation. God wants us to actually become aware of the things that he is doing. It says, do not give up. It says, don't stop. Don't lose your confidence. You actually have to persevere so that you can see everything God has for you to see. There are things that you can't see right now that he wants you to see in life. If you live only by what you see, you miss so much. I'm going to get the band back up. And I want to share this story about a young guy in the Bible called the rich young ruler. And it's a It's a full-on story, right? It's in Mark chapter 10. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to it. If not, I'll read it to you. The rich young ruler, right? This is the story, Mark chapter 10, verse 17 to 23. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Get this, verse 21, I love this. Jesus looked at him and loved him. And always at the foundation of everything you learn about God, you've got to get his character, his heart right. If you interpret the scriptures and you interpret stories without getting the heart and the character of God correct, it doesn't matter what you're reading it out of context. The most important context we need to have is the heart and the character of God. Jesus looked at this man and loved him. Jesus wanted the best for him. Jesus cared for him. Jesus wanted him to see everything that he could see become a reality. Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" Do you know, when I look at this story, there's a few things that I can observe just real clearly and real quickly, and it's this. This man wanted the supernatural. "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" He didn't just say, "How can I be successful? How can I take, you know, my wealth and multiply it? How can I get, you know, a good marriage or whatnot?" He said, "How can I have eternal life?" This man wanted the supernatural. Jesus loved him, the second thing we can observe. Jesus loved him and called him to faith. Do you know Jesus knows what faith looks like for you? He knows what your step of faith is. You know, I read this and I think if someone came to me and said, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Mate, I would be like, "Jesus, you said some good things, but I know what I would have said," right? I reckon I could have explained it so well, shared the gospel with him, talked to him about faith and righteousness that doesn't come by works and all this sort of stuff. Yet God goes after this one thing. Jesus goes after one, because for this young, rich young ruler, this was his step of faith. And Jesus called him, he loved him and he called him to faith. He says, "You need to have faith. Step out in faith." Jesus looked at him, loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." What is so sad about this story is that this man chose to live by sight. What he could see, his wealth, and not by faith, which is what Jesus could see, which was his future. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. The reason he left sad was because of his wealth. His eyes were on what he could see. Sometimes the more we can see, the harder it is to abandon our sight and live by faith. The more we've crafted our belief systems around our intellect or our own understanding, or, you know, our wealth is where we put our trust. And almost like the more we see, sometimes it's harder to abandon those things and to fully trust God. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?" Here's why I believe that this message is so important when it comes to this Building Our Generations season. God sees more than us. God sees more than us. Whatever we can see, whatever we can perceive, and you know what? There's so much that I can look at about what's going on with this season, and I can see why it's good. I can see why it's something that's worthwhile doing. I can see, you know, the reason that paying down debt's going to be productive, you know, because it releases ministry. But what I can't see, God can see. I say we pay down debt, then we're going to have more resource to release ministry. But God sees the actual person that is right now down in the Shire somewhere, like trying to figure out what to do with their life with no hope, who is going to be touched by the ministry that we release. He actually sees the individuals that right now have got no hope in your school or in your uni. He sees your workplace and the college. You know what? And you don't even see it because you work with these people and they look all good on the outside, but you don't realize that their marriage is falling apart. Or they've got addictions that are destroying their family, or their kids are growing apart from them. You don't know what's going on in these lives, but that's what God sees. And if all we do is live by faith, we can be stirred, and as Pastor Brad said, to contribute. But that is the lowest form of engagement when it comes to building the generations, just to, you know, give something because it will help the kids, right? You know, we got to get beyond that and think bigger and start to live by faith, because otherwise all we're going to see is the natural. All we're going to see is what's possible. This is what sets the church apart from every other organization on earth, because we can raise money and we can send funds, but at the end of the day, what we can't see is what God sees. And this is why it's a worthwhile investment into the kingdom of God to build the house and to raise up young people and leaders and to release ministry, because then God can do the impossible. Then we get to see the supernatural. And the only people that can on earth is the church, is you and I. We have access to God because of our faith and what Jesus Christ did for us that allows us to have the grace of God flow through us to reach the true needs of this community. For God, the echo is endless. You know, the rich young ruler could have become one of the first disciples. He could have had a book in the Bible. He literally could have had a book that we could be preaching from tonight. His life could have echoed and echoed and echoed into eternity. We could be sharing a scripture from this. There could be some person who's broken and hopeless, and because of the revelation that this young ruler got back then in those days and wrote it down to somebody in a town a little bit away, they can have an encounter with Jesus and life to be transformed forever. Yet we don't even know his name. How tragic to miss an opportunity, to miss a faith opportunity to be used by God to do something to change this world. Peter, John saw amazing things. Philip saw revival in Samaria. Peter and John rose someone from the dead. This guy, he was rich, he was young, he was a ruler. Probably went on to live a fair few more years, but he's not around today, I can guarantee you that. You know, he was young, he was rich, he probably had a great house, probably invested in a new chariot. He was a ruler. He might have even had a sense of importance or authority in the world. He could have been in a position of influence. But all of that was seen. It was sight. It was temporary. It came. It went. His life was over. Who are you going to be? Who are we going to be? Are we going to be people who live by sight, or are we going to be people who live by faith? We have to ask that question and we have to make that decision. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, our original scripture says this: "So do not throw away your confidence." The word confidence there in the Greek is parousia, which means boldness. How cool is that? Boldness. The statement God's given us over this season, bold. Do not throw away your confidence. We cannot miss this opportunity that God has given us to step up, be bold, and to take a hold of what God's calling us to, because it will be richly rewarded. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. You know, this whole season, building the generations, it's actually a season of faith, not of finance. It's actually a season of calling our church up a level. And I'm telling you, every single person will give different amounts, because every single one of us have got different things that God's asking us to do. You're the only one that can go before God and talk with Him and ask Him what a faith step looks like for you. You won't hear us from the platform tell you what you should do and you what you should do. That's between you and God. But all we ask and all we pray is that you would actually engage God in faith and not just treat this as another collection point or another natural solution to a natural need, but to say, God, I choose to seek you. I choose to ask you. I choose to, you know what? Ask God for revelation. Show me who you are, God. Show me who you are, God. And as you see him, your faith will rise and you will say, God, I want to do something. And you see how great he is and you get stirred to be a part of this. And I'm telling you, you will be that person of faith, not that person of sight. And let's believe for God to do what we cannot do ourselves. Can I just pray right now? Let's close our eyes right now. God, I just thank you so much that you are here tonight. You are here tonight and you are stirring our faith, God. Lord, that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as we have opened the word of God, you are stirring our faith. It's beyond the words of a person. It's beyond, God, the thoughts of man. God, this is something that you are doing in each of our hearts. And while I speak generally, God, you can speak specifically. Lord, while I share my thoughts, God, you can share the thoughts that are really going to impact the hearts of the people that are sitting here and myself included. God, I pray that we would be a people of faith. That we might see the supernatural. It would be something that is real for us. That the stories and the people that you right now know are out there waiting, God, would become real lives impacted and transformed by Shire Live as we walk this journey. Pray you'd stir us, God. Pray you'd stir us, God. Can I ask everyone just to stand to your feet? We're going to spend some time in worship. And you know, tonight, I just want us to reflect on Jesus. Again, this morning's message, our faith comes because we see the one whom our faith resides in. When we see Jesus, you watch, faith will rise. Things that seem big aren't so big. And right now, we're just going to sing a song about the beautiful name.